last harvest season was only twice a year. In here, harvest is three times a year. Take for example, 100 plots can produce 1 ton. If 3 times a year, it means 3 tons. In the past, it was only 2 tons. Twice, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, it was enough for residents to eat twice or 3 times. Blessing. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Riwayat Galunggung, tapi alhamdulillah setelah kejadian sekarang.
That was history of Galunggung, but alhamdulillah after the event, even residents surrounding Galunggung can feel the agriculture products from their own natural resources sendiri, and bring about more benefit bagus, and the economic standard for residents is better. What was delivered by Safullah, head of Sukajadi Village, reminds us that in life, human beings often face various kinds of unexpected events. Some of them feel sadder, but from those events, the God Almighty appears wisdom, which is worth to be thankful as it is now enjoyed by residents around Mount Galunggung.
Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. Only on Indonesia Today.
This is the news from Voice of Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno urged the Ministry of Religious Affairs to strengthen disaster mitigation education in religious schools, including Islamic boarding schools. This was stated on the event Kita Tangguh in Jakarta on Wednesday. President Prabowo Subianto's administration has devised people-oriented programs designed to help citizens live a decent life and secure a bright future in a comprehensive approach starting from birth. Hamdan Hamedan, an expert at the Presidential Communication Office, conveyed this during a discussion hosted by the Indonesian Diaspora Network in Jakarta on Wednesday, August 13th. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Good afternoon, VOI listeners and also viewers. We are approaching the Independence Day, and of course, we are checking in on sites and region from Indonesia. Now we are connected with Aldila from Bukit Tinggi. Hello, Aldila. How are the preparation for Independence Day going in your area?
Today, I'm in front of one of the landmark of Bukit Tinggi Bukit Tinggi Town, in front of the clock tower, Jam Gadang. But today, I would like to give you information about the commemorate the 80th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia. The city government of Padang Panjang proudly held the Serambi Merah Putih Festival 4-day cultural and also creative celebrations at the Bancalaweh Badminton Sport Complex. And the festival was officially opened on Tuesday, August 12th, by Deputy Mayor Alex Saputra, who and also a colorful lineup of activities for all age. The Serambi Merah Putih Festival offers a diverse range of activities designed to engage the local community, promote creativity, and also the highlight cultural heritage. And some of the activities, such as a local bazaar featuring a variety of local products and also culinary, and then traditional and also modern art performances, showcasing local talent and cultural expressions, and also creative competition product design competition, photography and also videography competition, and Minangkabau traditional custom contest, and also putri contest for junior high school, and also general category band festival that open to participants from all over West Sumatra.
So it sounds like it's very festive and joyful, the celebration out there in Bukit Tinggi. But I want to know, Aldila, are there any unique traditions or activities celebrated, especially in Bukit Tinggi, when it's approaching Independence Day or on Independence Day?
Okay, especially for this year, we have met several traditions, attractions. For example, like the Tambua Tansa, and also the another activities, especially when we talk in Padang Panjang, the Minangkabau Traditional Costume Contest, one of the festival standout event was the Minangkabau Tradition Costume Contest held on opening day today. And for this year theme is the Charm of Minangkabau Tradition in Creative Expressions. Invited participants from various local institutions to represent traditional costume with the modern and artistic twist.
Okay, thank you so much, Aldila, for the report right from Bukit Tinggi. That was Aldila from RRI Bukit Tinggi. Thank you for sharing how Bukit Tinggi is getting ready for Independence Day. That was from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
In recent years, Bali has faced its share of challenges. Overcrowded beaches, cultural sites in disrepair, and a growing litter problem have left many concerned about the island's future. And it's clear that something needs to change. However, from adversity comes an opportunity for renewal. Bali has embarked on a journey towards sustainable tourism by introducing regulations. Then why does Bali need tourist levy? The answer is simple. To preserve Bali's natural beauty, cultural heritage, and enhance the visitor experience. Tourist levy regulations help protect and restore Bali's cultural treasures. They ensure all human beings respect, maintain, and appreciate sacred sites. Now, Bali is working towards a cleaner, more pristine environment. As you explore Bali, remember to do it with respect for the local culture and environment. By contributing to the tourist levy, you're actively participating in sustainable tourism. Your support helps preserve Bali's natural beauty and cultural heritage for generations to come. Leave beautiful footprints, and the memories will last a lifetime. In conclusion, the Bali Tourist Levy is not just a feat, but an investment in Bali's continued allure. Your contribution shapes a brighter future for this island paradise, ensuring it remains a haven for all who visit. Together, we can protect its natural beauty, cultural heritage, and ensure a harmonious coexistence. This regulation will be implemented in 2024. Let's cherish Bali together and leave a legacy of responsible travel.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, has grown into the largest and most advanced city in Indonesia, and even it's on its way to be a global city. And one of things to realize it is in the transportation sector. So to find out more about Jakarta and its transportation development, joining us on today's VOI Talk, Ibu Rika Zikria, as the head of the economic sector at the Jakarta Planning and Development Agency, or BAPEDA Jakarta. Hello, good afternoon, Ibu Rika. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Pleasure is ours to have you here to talk more about Jakarta and its transportation. Lately, Jakarta Governor Pramono Anung wants that the Indonesian capital to become one of the world's top 50 global cities by 2030, calling for reforms, including in transportation. So how does Jakarta's transportation strategy to improve connectivity and mobility for citizens in the context of a global city?
Okay, thank you for the questions. So Jakarta's transportation strategy has really evolved in recent years to tackle some challenges, things like traffic congestions, fragmented public transport services, and the issues of mobility in general. The goal is to build a more integrated, efficient, and inclusive transport systems that reflects the standard of a modern global cities. So one of our focus and strategy is to expand our mass rapid transit infrastructures. For instance, MRT Jakarta South Phase 1, which connects Lebak Bulus to Bundaran HI, that's that operate since March 2019, has already made a huge difference by cutting travel times along the South Node corridor of Jakarta. And right now, the phase two is underway, extending the line to Kota Tua in North Jakarta, which will serve the Old City and Northern Commercial Zones and Residential area. Similarly, the LRT Jakarta Phase 1 that connects Pegangsaan 2 with Velodrome has been operated since end of the 2019. It captures the mobility for citizens in eastern part of Jakarta. And now we also in the phase of development for LRT Phase 1B that will link East Jakarta to the central areas with connections to major transport hubs, Manggarai. We also develop and improve the quality of Transjakarta, which is the world's longest BRT systems that covering over 250 kilometers. It serves around 90% of Jakarta area that consists of the BRT systems, the trunk line, the feeder systems, and also the microtrans. Probably most of us know it as Angkot. And the latest development of Transjakarta now it's not only serve Jakarta internal area, but also to surrounding areas like Bekasi, Bogor, Tangerang, through providing a feeder service called Transjabodetabek. This is helping us to reduce the reliance on private vehicles for the commuters coming to Jakarta from greater surroundings Jakarta. But if we're talking about connectivity, we not only building a transport network, we also try to develop more seamless transportation systems. That's where the multimodal integrations comes in. And in Jakarta, we're doing it primarily through the Jaklingko programs. So the Jaklingko programs is a system that brings together the MRT Jakarta, LRT Jakarta, and Transjakarta, and also the microtrans. Not only integrated physically, but also integrated as a systems and fare systems. So there are one unified fare and route systems that kept within a 3-hour windows that makes commuting more affordable and convenient, especially for daily users of public transport. We also embedding transport into the fabric of the city through the developments of several transit-oriented development of the ODs, areas like Duku Atas, Blok M, Fatmawati, and Lebak Bulus. It's the samples of the TOD that we will develop in a couple of years. And around these public transport stations, we are planning to develop more mixed-use developments such as the office, housing, and retail spaces, combined with sidewalks for the pedestrians, bicycle path, and easy and accessible stations access. We hope that we can create more vibrant and also like walkable neighborhoods and reducing the needs for long distance or car travel. We also aligning our efforts to make a public transport that global in Jakarta by collaborating with many stakeholders, whether it's the central government, the state-owned enterprises, other local governments, the regional owned enterprises, development partner, and even the private company for improving the connectivity, which is very vital for intercity movement within the metropolitan region. So not only in Jakarta, but also in Jabodetabek area. So basically, our strategies aren't just about moving people faster, but about the transforming Jakarta into a more transit-oriented, people-friendly city. And in doing so, we are improving the mobility, boosting the economic productivity, and moving toward a more sustainable and globally competitive urban in the world.
Okay, so Ibu Rika, integrated here means like, for example, someone who takes LRT but haven't arrived in the destination, they can continue the trip with the other modes of transportation like Transjakarta or MRT. That's
yes, correct. So people can take like one modes of public transport and change or shift to another modes within one particular system called Jaklingko. So it makes like, you know, moving between modes more seamlessly.
Okay, and you also mentioned before about convenience and safety. Convenience here usually also related to the on-time scheduling, how to make sure it.
So basically, in Transjakarta Fleet, of course, if you're talking about the rail-based transport modes, which is MRT and LRT, the system itself is already make sure that you know, the fleet will comes like very on time, because there is like some key indicators that we ask the provider of MRT and LRT to make sure that their fleet coming on time. But then for the road-based transport, which is the BRT, there's some challenges, because not all the networks of the BRT, it's like a dedicated bus lane. It's still like in several part of Jakarta, we're still facing there are mixed use of the bus lanes in many of the bus lanes in Jakarta. So in order to make sure the on-time performance of BRT bus fleets, we put the GPS systems in every each fleet, so it makes sure that people who waiting at the bus stations know exactly when the bus will come to the stations. And other than that, we also collaborate with Google Maps in order to give them informations that they can use the Google Maps to manage their mobility plan. So from point A to point B, which public transport modes that will give them like the shorter time periods, and also like how long they need to wait in the bus stop or in an MRT stop until the fleet coming.
Okay, and when it comes to fleet scheduling, we've got information here from PT Transportasi Jakarta or Transjakarta, which is developing artificial intelligence or AI technology to automate fleet scheduling based on real-time field conditions. What do you think about this?
I think that is very important, and also like great strategy that used by the Transjakarta and also for the others operators of public transport. Because as we know that now we need to cope with the technology, right? Because by utilizing the technology into our daily activities, it really helps. Like in Jakarta, we also utilize the AI to help us to serve the people better. For example, not only like in public transport, but we also have like a Jakarta Super Apps, which called Jaki, where we utilize the AI and technology to give a better services or government services for all the citizens in Jakarta. So basically, like if it's related to the technology-based services, Jakarta is very like promote these kinds of adaptability of services using the AI.
All right. Now, transportation and environmental issues pose significant challenges indeed in Jakarta. So how does Jakarta's transportation strategy reduce environmental impact and improve safety?
Yes, indeed, it's a very important how the strategy of transportation development can help to reduce the environmental impact and improve safety. So basically, especially in a city like Jakarta, where urban urban mobility or urban transport has been a major source of air pollution and traffic related risk. So Jakarta transportation strategy has really started to align more closely with broader climate goals and public safety priorities. So for example, from an environmental perspective, can you hear my voice?
Yes, I can hear your voice clearly.
Sorry, there's some issues here. So, for example, from an environmental perspective, the city is shifting away from car-centric plannings and making serious investment in public transport, as we already know. Jakarta has taken some approach combining both pull and push strategy to encourage a shift from private vehicles to public transport. For example, the expansions of MRT, LRT, and BRT networks developments. It's as one of the pull sites where making people to shift to the more environmental friendly modes options. And the other than that, we also give some subsidy for the transport public user. And we also develop more pedestrians friendly infrastructures so that people can choose for more environmental friendly mobility options. And other than that, we also do some kind of push strategy. For example, some measures to discourage private vehicles usage. For example, the license plate restrictions, the progressive parking fees, even though it's still in the term of developing the new regulations related to that. We also will introduce the electronic road pricings in a couple of years. And we also try to reallocations of road space. As you probably may see in the major roads of Jakarta, now the road is not as wide as it used to be. Now we have dedicated bike lines, and we also develop more wider pedestrians area. So those are several several measures that we use to help people shift to public transport, which is more environmental friendly than the car-oriented development that we have several years ago.
Yeah, hopefully those lanes and spaces can be used wisely. Yeah. And of course, Jakarta wants to reach all levels of society, right? Including people with disabilities. How does it work?
Yes, in developing the transport sectors, public transport sectors, in order to make it more inclusive, we put the accessibility as a central for Jakarta transportation development vision. So we are working to make sure that everyone, regardless of age, income or physical ability, to move around the city with ease and more accessibility. For example, in developing the infrastructures, we try to make our MRT and LRT stations that are designed to international accessibility standards. That means that you will find elevators, wheelchair ramps, and tactile paving for the visually impaired, braille signage, and priority seating areas for people with disabilities. And in Transjakarta, we also try to gradually retrofitting bus shelters and deploying more low floor buses to make boarding and seating easier for people with mobility challenges. And another part is affordability is also another key part of accessibility. So one of the strategy that we have or through the Jaklingko Fair integrations programs, we introduce subsidies and also free fares for people with disabilities, for the senior citizens, for the low-income residents and students. So, for example, someone with a disability who registered to our database can ride Transjakarta, MRT, LRT for free. That is about we are doing those strategy to ensure that no one is left behind in this city. So we want to make sure that people with financial barriers can also, like, you know, utilize the public transport that are provided by the city for its citizens. And also, not only in the public transport, but we also try to redesign the public spaces, especially like the sidewalks, with universal designs principles. As you can see, like the places that we already like do some revitalizations, including in Sudirman, Tamrin, and Cikini area. Now the pedestrians is more wide, it's wider, and it's we can say it like it's obstacle-free walkways. There is some curb cuts and texture surface just to make sure that all the infrastructures built by the government can cater the needs of all citizens, inclusive for all the citizens.
For all citizens. So, Jakarta Regional Government has provided all for all levels of society. So now, how can the public participate in transportation planning and development in Jakarta?
So the public participation is becoming a cornerstone for how we plan and develop, deliver the transportation projects in Jakarta. The city has recognized the top-down planning alone, it's not enough for developing the inclusive and participative development. So we need inputs from all the stakeholders. We need inputs from the user of our developments, which is the citizens, from the people who use the public transport, the people that use the sidewalks, ride the bus, and other people that, you know, do some do their active daily activities in Jakarta. So there are several ways that the citizens can get involved and all the stakeholders can get involved. And we've really tried to create a mix of digital and in-person platform. For example, as I mentioned before, we have like some we have a super apps called Jaki that people can you know, actively involved in the development by report day-to-day issues like the damaged sidewalks or the broken traffic lights or unsafe crossings. And beyond just for you know, collecting the complaints, these platforms also use together feedbacks and suggestions from the citizen. So for example, as we have like a new development of transport infrastructures, people that have complaints, they can do this platform to, you know, give their inputs, and it will be directly directed to the technical units that taking care of that programs or that infrastructures to improve the quality of the services they have. And for the larger scale projects, we also all the agencies in Jakarta, for example, Bapeda or technical units like Dinas Perhubungan, we organize the stakeholders meetings. We organize some town halls and FGDs. So, for example, in the planning of Duku Atas TOD area, the local residents, the street vendors, business owners, and other stakeholders were invited to participate in design workshop to ensure that the development of the Duku Atas TOD area reflected the real community needs. So it won't be like, you know, quite different with what actually people over there is needed. That kind of inclusive planning process leads to better outcomes of the designs and the higher, what you call it, like ownership and engagement from the stakeholders nearby area. We also have a formal one. We have more structured forms of participation through the annual Musrenbang. So the Musrenbang, it's like what they call it, like a focus group discussion start from the very low level of development planning agenda, Musyawarah Perencanaan Pembangunan, which happens at the district and municipalities level. So in that event, the citizen can propose the tangible development related improvements, especially for the transport sectors, like added pedestrians crossings or safer signage in their area. So yeah, basically like for participating citizens, we do a lot of strategies to make sure that all the their voices are heard and their concerns are implemented in the development processes.
Okay, Ibu Rika, hopefully Jakarta will stay, Jakarta Transportation will stay integrated, inclusive, convenient, and safe, and realizing a global city by 2030. And hopefully after this, VOI listeners, especially the international one, have no doubt to visit Jakarta and enjoy the city's transportation. Thank you so much, Ibu Rika. Hopefully we'll have another 1 hour session next time to dig deeper about this issue. Thank you for joining us on today's VOI talk.
Hope it will give more clear about Jakarta today.
Certainly. Thank you and have a good day, Ibu Rika.
Thank you so much. Have a good day for you guys too.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI talk, talking about Jakarta's transportation in a global city with Ibu Rika Zikria, head of the economic sector at Jakarta Planning and Development Agency, or BAPEDA. Stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks on VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Music, dance,
art performances from Indonesia and abroad only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah. about Bali and everything it offers. Culture, leisures, adventure. And yet, Bali can still fall into no list by several websites. They highlight the same word. Over tourism. One of the most highlighted ones is from Fodor's No List 2025. Fodor's Travel Road. Rapid, unchecked development spurred by overtourism is encroaching on Bali's natural habitats and creating a plastic apocalypse. Then, how does the people of Bali respond to this? I arranged an appointment with a community figure in Bali. His name is Bapa Puspanegara. He invited us to join a regular beach cleaning every Friday morning, which was joined by staff of hotels and restaurants around Legian.
So this is going to be interesting, right?
Uh-huh.
Because you also asked a lot of people around the area of Legian. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they want to join you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, it's very difficult, definitely at first time to convince them to clean up the beach where you work, where you live, where you, what did you do at that time?
Okay, this is, we talk about behavior or attitude. And talk about beans or rubbish, they talk about behavior. Because to change the behavior is more harder than to do an action.
Uh-huh.
And the action supposed to be continually or sustainability. And for make change the attitude and behavior, that's why we do every week with all the stakeholder we have here in Legian area.
Oh.
So this, the participant is come from the hotel, restaurant, bar, pub, eatery, every single every single activity in tourism. So we invite them to join this beach cleanup, and they now automatically already know about the schedule in which Friday they have to come to the beach. So this is to make a movement their behavior and the attitude, so need continuity. And more than 3 years, they already know what they have to do and when they have to come for join this
every
activity.
Friday, so
every Friday morning.
There's no notice, there's no information about anything, but every Friday they will definitely jump into the beach at this
absolutely.
Hours of morning.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And that makes me a little bit happy because of they have a sense that we call sense of belonging to our destination. And we believe one thing, if all of us doing this action, they're going to be involved, everyone, not as only the people, as well to the tourists and the visitors who come here, so they have something sense to do an action minimums. They're not throw the rubbish everywhere, and we believe as long as we do this activity, the tourists, the local, the people all do a good behavior. And you can see this, our beach is very clean rather than other beach, because all the participants.
I'm surprised actually when I came here, it's already clean.
It's clean, and we have not only the clean up is not only from us. This is from the sellers. Along the beach, every morning they as well join. Look at this, the seller, as well the hotel, restaurant, who doing the business front of the beach. Automatically, because of this activity, they join activity and they're doing the beach clean up every time during their schedule, during their own schedule.
Oh, wow.
So we are very happy because the stakeholders here have awareness about how to save our environments, how to take the action and responsibility to their destination, because this destination is our magnetic for the tourists. If this destination bad
dirty
bad or or we call sad comments from the tourists.
Okay.
So they're going to be disaster for us here, because this only one beach is in Bali, as well in Indonesia, as well non-wells by the tourists. If they come to Bali, they have to come here in Legian Beach to see the sunset, the stunning sand, smooth sand,
wow,
the good wave for surfing,
yeah,
and the good water for swimming,
it
as
is.
Well for jogging and
yeah,
for,
I see people jog,
yeah,
around
for sightseeing.
Yeah.
This is nice beach in the world. So most of the people, foreigners who come here, they know they have a value added when it comes to Legian Beach. Not only the beach.
Not only the beach.
Not only the beach. They have a surfing activity.
Surfing activity.
Learn to surf.
Okay.
And then they can do a sport on the beach, like a beach soccer.
Beach soccer.
Beach soccer.
Beach
soccer.
Follies.
And a family activity like sand carving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And every activity of the tourist destination here.
Oh,
as you can
cool.
see there, that is Legian Beach Hotel. They have as well routine every first week in a month.
Okay.
They join our beach clean up.
Ah.
So, and other hotels, they are automatically every day as
do
well
it too.
Do it too. So it means we already give an impact for their sense of belonging
to the people
to
itself.
Take responsibility for the sustainable.
Certainly, Kuta and Legian are not just a beach. This also includes the city.
So, Bapak, Legian is not only beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's also city,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah,
around there.
Right, yeah.
So if the beach is already clean and the people already realize it, how important the beach for them, what about the city?
Yes, we have Legian is not only beach, we have only as well a land of Legian. Land of Legian, we have the activity for tourism as well. We have a Legian Street, that in Legian Street is many tourist activity. There is a pub, bar, discotheque, karaoke, and many more. So this area as well, we're doing not only to take the area clean, as well to take the area beauty, comfortable, and enjoy for everyone. And so far, Legian Street still the one of destination